you should do to order your lives according to that example that Christ had set you for. But I do figure on reading, you might say, quite a little scripture out of the Bible, and maybe the Book of Mormon, whatever I get around to read. But I think most of it is out of the Bible tonight. And whatever is written in them scriptures, we know is left here for our guidance. I'm going to read in Romans, the 7th chapter. I'm going to read verse 21. This is Paul speaking, and I want you to stop and think and put yourself, shall I say, in his moccasins here. Consider yourself the same as he was considering himself when he wrote this verse. He says, I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. Did you ever stop to consider how many times you do good or want to do good and there's something stops you? Something hinders. Evil is always there. Now, we talk about good and evil. There is just those two great spirits, the spirit of God and the spirit of Satan. And if we don't serve one, we serve the other. There's no in between. You've got to go one way or the other. And you can't, as they say, set on the fence so that you could work over this way or over that way, because you're bound to fall off. And 9 chances out of 10, if you try to set on the fence, you're going to fall off on the evil side. It's just like going and seeing how close you can stand to the edge of a cliff and look down over the edge. And if a little rock rolls under your foot, where are you? And that's just what's happened to us if we try to ride the fence and say, well, we can do this or we can do that. And you think you can just be your own boss and do what you want. But you know that sometimes things happen to us that we can't control. And if we're standing close to the edge, we're liable to fall. I'm going to turn over to James, the 4th chapter. I like to read a lot of it to you so that it's not my words, but it's the words of those that wrote. And this is James speaking this time. 4th chapter. I'm going to read two verses. I'm going to read verses 7 and 8. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What I want you to get out of that is that you're supposed to submit yourself to God. And draw nigh to God, it says, and he will draw nigh to you. If we strive to draw nigh to God and do the things that he has told us, we will notice the difference of how much help we have to draw nigh and get closer to God. And it says to resist the devil and he will flee from us. Now you want to remember what I said, he's always there. Old Satan never rests. Night and day, he's always there to tempt you. And sometimes we'll think, well, just some little thing, it ain't too much of a temptation, and I can do it this time, next time I better not. Well, you better not first time. Because every time that you give in once, he'll strive harder to get you to give in the next time. And I ain't talking about just you either, I'm talking about me. I have to be there just the same as you do. It falls on each of us' own shoulders. I can't live your life, be responsible for your doings, and you can't live my life, be responsible for my doings. So we're each of us accountable unto God for our own doings. And he tells us that we're going to be judged for our works. Not for what we say we're going to do, but for what we do do. And it makes a difference sometimes. How many times have you heard people say, "Oh, I believe in God"? Do their works show it? A lot of times they'll tell you they believe in God, but boy, don't give them a chance to try to beat you out of a nickel, because they'll do it if they can. Now that works is very opposite from what they say they believe. If you believe in God, you're going to be honest with your fellow man. I'm going to turn back to 1 Corinthians. The 11th chapter. I'm going to read you quite a little this time. Because here's Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And Paul, as you all know, was a learned man. He was well educated. But he tells us that he didn't learn the gospel from man, but he learned it by direct revelation from God. And he writes, well, some of them don't like all of his writings, but I think as a rule they're pretty good and pretty authentic. And I think we'd ought to try to understand them and get the most good out of them that we can. Now, you've heard of people, you understand I said the good. You've heard of people, and maybe you've seen people, that will study the scriptures not to educate themselves or to help themselves come closer to God, as I just read to you, but study the scripture to try to show the faults of the other man. When you start to doing that, pretty soon you see those that start trying that, hunting, seeking, searching, just to find the faults of another man. Pretty soon they're wandering farther and farther away themselves. What we need to do is study, like it says in one place, to show ourselves approved. A student, I can't remember the exact word, but anyway, a student of the scriptures and a servant of God. If we don't study, we might be like I heard one man say. He said he studied, and he at that time was studying to show himself what he knew. Not to show himself approved to God, but to studying to show himself. That is the wrong attitude. Because we need to study to show ourselves approved of God. If we study hard enough, we can do it. But if we study a few minutes now and try to study during Sunday school and church, and then when we go home put our religion away with our Sunday clothes, that little study ain't going to do us much good. But we've got to study all the time and think upon those things all the time that will bring us closer to God. I'm going to start right chapter 11. No, it ain't. Excuse me. Chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to begin with verse 1. I told you 11 a while ago, and I was looking at the wrong place. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant. Now, this is ignorant scripture-wise that he's speaking of here. How that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. Now see, he's talking about what their fathers had done. And they did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You know, this here kind of foretells or goes on a parallel with eating that spiritual meat or drinking that spiritual drink. And meat in lots of places in the Bible is just called whatever they had to eat was called meat. A lot of times, and this goes on and shows where, well, I may not read it tonight, but where he instituted, as we often say, the Last Supper, the sacrament of his broken body and his spilt blood. And this goes right in with the same thought, that that's what they're eating and drinking, is that spiritual. Now you can't say, when you partake of the sacrament, you eat a little bread and drink a little wine, but if you don't partake of the spirit of the thing at the same time, you'd better to just eat a little bit at home and forgot it when you went to church. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our example, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. You've heard that said before, that they sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Is that what we're supposed to do? There's one place in there that says a man shall earn his bread by the sweat of his brow. And you can't do that playing. Oh, I guess some of them sports fans or the ones that play in a lot of these strenuous sports, they earn their bread by the sweat of their brow, a playing. But the average man does not. Neither this that I'm trying to read to you should give you some thoughts about how you should conduct yourself. I mean, as we go about our daily walk of life. To go on with the reading. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. If you remember some of the stories of what happened to some of the Israelites after they came out of Canaan, you can remember these stories here, how so many of them died in the wilderness, and how some of them died of poisonous serpents. Maybe you remember them stories. If you don't, it'd be a good thing to go back and get your Bible out and read them, because they're in there. If I'd go back and read all them stories, I wouldn't get near as far with some of this others I tend to try to tonight. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. You've heard people say, I'm living a good life. There's nothing to keep me from going to heaven. What do they do on Sunday? Maybe they're snowmobiling. Maybe they're out boating. Maybe they're horseback riding. They think they're standing. They're standing on their own feet. They're not depending on Christ to help them. And it says, wherefore, that him that thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. You know, that's the easiest thing that we can do is fall. Because to strive and keep on striving to do those things that Christ would have us to do, we can't relax. We've got to go ahead. It's sometimes, like I have said, like a man in the river, a swimming upstream. As long as he keeps a working, he can keep going upstream. But the minute he stops, he starts to drift backward. It's the same with us, scripture-wise. If we stop studying the scripture, we forget some that we already knew. If we stop striving to do those things that God would have us to do, we drift the other way. And when we drift so far the other way, you find it's pretty hard to get back. I'm going to skip down now to verse 16 and read it. And this here is speaking of the sacrament. It says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? There's one place in here tells too that, I don't know whether I had that down here to read to you or not. But when we eat that bread, drink that wine, we do so in remembrance of his spilt blood and broken body. And we need to stop to think and remember, because if we don't, we're liable to take things a little bit wrong. I'm going to drop down to verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. Verse 21, chapter 10, 1 Corinthians, shows us we can't take a bowl. Just like it tells us in one place, we can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve two masters. You're either going to serve God or you're going to serve the devil. It's something I want you to stop and think about. And so I say, analyze your own life. See what you're doing. See what I'm doing. If you can help me, I'd like for you to do it. If I can help you, I'll do the best I can. Drop down to verse 31. If I read all of this in between, it's taken an awful long time, and I probably won't get all I want down. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That's putting it right down close. Do it to the glory of God. Whatsoever we do, we should do to the glory of God. Not to our glory, but to His. Go right on down to the next chapter. Chapter 11. I'm going to read you three verses. Not three verses. Start with 23. So this is still Paul writing. And he don't beat around the bush very much. And sometimes I've been accused of not beating around the bush enough. I want you to take it as it is written. Not as I say it, but as it is written. 1 Corinthians 11th chapter, verses 23 through 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do shew the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now you know that's quite a bit for us to be guilty of. The body and blood of the Lord. But let the man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Can we understand that? If we eat it unworthily, now, there's some scriptures in the Book of Mormon that I don't have wrote down. But in one place there, it tells us to serve that sacrament to those of my church, the words of Christ, the words of His church. And he tells us that those that are baptized in the name of Jesus was called the Church of Christ. And he tells us in another place there, right in the same part of the scripture, that if one come into your congregation, not belonging now, understand, says for you not to cast him out, but to pray for him. And then if he repents and is baptized, says then serve him this bread and wine. I should have had those references written down, but I didn't even think of them. I'm going to turn back to 1 Thessalonians. chapter 4. I'm going to read 1 through 4 and then 6 through 9. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. For you know that know what commandments we have. Let me start that again. For ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessels in sanctification and honor, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother or in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. But as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. Just a few of the things that we need to know and understand to guide us along our daily life. Things that we need to do. You know, there's one thing there that sometimes you see kind of, gone over kind of roughshod and not paid too much attention to. Verse 7, where he said, God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. You all know the difference. Ain't any use for me to try to explain it to you, because you know. You know, there's something back here in 1 Timothy 2 that I think I'll try and read to you. Chapter 4. Writing here to Timothy, somewhat like he wrote to the Thessalonians. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Showing here some of the things that were taught back there, how things that are on this earth are for us to eat. And going on to chapter 5. Verse 8. This tells us something else that we have to do. But sometimes you see people not paying much attention to. It says, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Does this tell us that we've got something to do for our family? For those we love, we've got to provide for them. Because who wants to be worse than an infidel and already denied the faith? I don't think you do. I'm going to drop down and read verse 21 in that same chapter. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing in partiality. If you read in between here, there's a lot of things that Paul has been telling the people. And we should read all through there. But I want to read some of the main things from you tonight, maybe kind of stir up your thoughts and get you to go back here and read these things straight through for yourself. It tells us to prove all things and hold fast that which is good. Can we prove all things if we don't study to know what's good? I'm going to turn back to Galatians, the 5th chapter. Well, I might kind of jump around here, different things. I want you to understand, I hope you can, that I'm right reading to you some of the things that Paul wrote to different ones back there when he was here in the flesh and serving the Lord. And that's what we all ought to be doing. Not just now, but like I told you a while ago. All week long, all month long, all year long as we live. Because in many places it tells us what to do, and then tells us that he that endureth to the end shall receive eternal life. So we can't go a ways and then stop and think, well, I'm all right now. Why don't I just drift along? Like I told you a while ago, when we start to just letting ourselves drift, we go backwards. Galatians, the 5th chapter. I'm going to begin with verse 19. And this tells us some of the difference between the works of the flesh and the works of the Spirit. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Do we want to do those things? If it says, if we do, we will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections of lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. You have all heard of the love of God. You should all know the greatest commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, and strength. The second is likened to it, love thy neighbor as thyself. You're going to do very much harm to your neighbor if you love him? In one place it tells us that we must have charity. If we don't have charity, it says we're nothing. Another place says if we don't have charity, we're as a tinkling cymbal. One verse over in the Book of Mormon tells us that charity is the pure love of God. And these things that I've just read you here, the fruits of the Spirit, are all mentioned in what is consisted in charity. It tells us we don't have it, we're nothing. We're going to drop back in this same chapter. To 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then it goes on to tell us what will happen if we bite and so forth one another. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Showing that we should love our neighbor as ourself and not do him wrong or bite him. You know, you can take this here, as you have seen and I have seen and heard, and where it says bite, you heard of backbiting. You all know what backbiting is. I don't need to explain it to you. You all know. We're going to drop over to the Ephesians. And then that seemed like a lot of these I got out of the fourth chapter. So that's where I'm going to read here too, fourth chapter, beginning with verse 17. And this is Paul giving some more instructions. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts. See, he tells us there that the ignorance in us is through the blindness of our hearts. Maybe a lot of people, would follow Christ closer if their heart wasn't already blinded, and that caused them to be ignorant of the law of the ways of Christ, who past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to walk, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Can we say honestly in our own minds that we're doing the things here that we are told to do by Paul? Drop down one verse. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Do you think we can forgive every man his trespass against us? It's one of the things that you read in the prayer that Christ taught his disciples. He told us, forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. I'm going to turn back to Mark. I'm going to have to skip that fourth chapter this time. Chapter 11. I don't know if I've tried to cover too much territory. I've tried to read some of the things that Paul taught the people there. If Paul taught it to the people back there, and I read some out of James, he taught too. If it was good for those back there, it's good for us today. There ain't a one of us. But what if we stop to consider and check the things that I have read tonight, can see that wherein some place we have erred. Not a one of us can say, I've kept it all. Mark, the 11th chapter, verses 25 and 26. Says, and when ye stand praying, forgive. If ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if ye do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Now that's pretty plain. He tells us to forgive. And he believe that most of us